Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Vinyl Countdown, the podcast where I, Jeremy Levine, break down my favorite vinyl releases from cover to cover and everything in between. On this week's episode, the last episode of the year, and actually it's been a little while since the last episode that I did, which was Thursday's War All the Time. If you get a chance, go check that out. I today will be discussing the not only my top five albums of the year, but also some of my favorite pickups in general on vinyl this year. Because looking back at this year, I mean, I guess we can all kind of agree 2020 kind of sucked. Of course, like, you know, that take is going to be driven into the fucking ground for the next 40 years, right? We get it. 2020 was terrible. But on a personal level, 2020 actually wasn't that bad. Things, you know, there was hurricanes, plural, right, that hit our area. We had COVID. I damn near lost my eyesight in a workplace accident. So there was that. I'm fine. But, you know, there were a lot of things that happened this year to me. And then, of course, as a country and as, you know, the world, you know, it was a rough year. But that being said, I'm only going to focus on, again, I guess the positives, right? And those being, I picked up a lot of grails this year. You know, I went into 2020 thinking, okay, you know, if I can get my hands on one or two of these, I'll be good. And honestly, I ended up picking up, probably four or five, you know, quote unquote grails, right? And so I guess I'll start off with that. The first one that I got for this year, and I did a little unboxing video for it, and actually I did a mini episode about it too a few weeks after I got it. It was Giraffe Giraffes and their 2013 split with Goddard on, it was a 10-inch disc or whatever, only 500 ever made. And it was one that I've been looking for now for, at the time that I got it, I've been looking for it for almost 7 years. Like pretty much since it released, I didn't get my hands on it, and I just never saw one for sale. And finally one popped up, and I talked the guy down to $100 shipped, right? He was cool with it, shipped it out, great. Then, not even 2 weeks later, another one popped up on Discogs for $30. You can imagine how that felt. But whatever the case, I got mine, so I'm good. I ended up getting War All the Time by Thursday, which, again, that's the last episode that I did before this one. Disappointed in the sound quality. It's the A side of disc one sounds okay, and the D side of disc two sounds okay. But it's the B and the C sides that don't sound too good. With the C side, after repeated listenings, the C side is the absolute worst. For whatever reason, it sounds like shit, right? But, you know, whatever the case, I got it, and I'm working towards possibly selling it and then getting the original press from 03, which I hear sounds much better. But anyway, I also picked up Damn by Kendrick Lamar on vinyl, which was a Target exclusive on like a forest green color, which I actually had that episode written and planned to do, and then I decided to take my little hiatus a few weeks early, so I went ahead and just left it alone, right? That episode will be coming out at some point next year, but that one, it sounds incredible, and man, I love that album, and I'll talk about it more on the episode, but that's one that is absolutely perfect. It's great. So then, you know, moving on, like, I actually just ordered another, I guess, quote-unquote, grail, the Street Fighter II definitive soundtrack. It's a 4-LP set, and I've been listening to, you know, do it on Bandcamp, and it sounds awesome. So I cannot wait to hear it on vinyl. And cool thing about it is the composer of all the music actually worked with this company with the remasters and, like, essentially signed off on all of them. So they all sound really good. And again, it was under kind of the direction of the person who originally composed the music anyway. So, you know, it's very high quality and very excited for that. So then also through repressings, there's so many represses. That's another thing I was telling Andrea the other day. This year was great for me for music because a lot of the records that I loved, that I've loved for so long, hit their like 10 or 15 year anniversaries, right? So with those anniversaries came repressings of records that I either didn't get my hands on back in the day or didn't know about, like record-wise, vinyl-wise in the day, or when they did do a repress or whatever happened, I missed out on it or whatever. Most of those are now well over $100 to $200 for these presses from like from either 2005 or 2010 or say 2015 for like a anniversary presses then, right? The first one that I got really was, and I overpaid for it, and I should have waited because they did repress it, but I am happy with the one that I got. I have two copies, actually, of Armor for Sleep's first album. Actually, not the first album, but their first, I guess it would be their second album, but What to Do When You're Dead, which I also have an episode on. But that was the 15-year anniversary. I had the 10-year and the 15-year anniversary press of that one, right? And I talked about it in the episode how it was an accident that I actually have both. Didn't mean to have both, but it kind of worked out that way. Episode 73, by the way, if you want to check that out. But whatever the case, I got it and I'm super excited about it, right? Chiodos, another one, which again, episode 74, did that one as well. Super excited. Chiodos, All's Well That Ends Well, got that on vinyl. Another repressing, which really wasn't for an anniversary because it's 13th anniversary, I guess, which, you know. But Coheed and Cambria's Good Apollo Volume 2, No World for Tomorrow. That is one that over the years, and I've talked about it with my buddy Chance for forever, I guess. But it's one of those albums, man, that like I didn't care for it when it came out. And I just did not fully appreciate it, I guess. And it was really cool. The Wizard and the Bruiser podcast actually did an episode on Coheed and Cambria finally after years and years of me like asking about it on Facebook and you know, getting ridiculed for it on Facebook too within the group, people being real shitty about it. And then at one point Holden McNeely, one of the hosts, actually commented on one of those statuses and was like, yeah, we'll probably do that in the future sometime. So then it kind of validated it. But then 2 years since, like, it was 2 years, like a 2 year difference between that comment and when they actually did the episode, but whatever the case, it was really awesome. And he said something on his favorite album was Good Apollo 2. And I got to think, I was like, man, I don't see how that can be people's favorite album. Like there's so many other really good albums or incredible classic, whatever. Good Apollo 2 just never really clicked for me as being one of the better albums or whatever. Like I never put it on that pedestal. And at the time, there was a lot too. Like, you know, Mike was gone. Actually, I don't think Mike Todd was. No, Mike Todd wasn't gone yet, but Josh was gone on drums, right? So that's when Chris Penny filled in. But because of contractual obligations, he couldn't actually play on the record. So Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters actually played and tracked all the drums on that record in the studio, which he's great, fine. He's a good drummer, just like Chris Penny is a great drummer. I love him. But I don't know, man. There's something about the drumming within the Coheed songs and the sonic, you know, whatever they've created, it just didn't seem to work as well as when Josh was there, right? And it was, like, immediately apparent. I never got into it. I don't know, just... that being said, though, re-listening to it, and... when I saw him in 2012, actually, they did a song, Mother Superior, that's off that record, that seeing it live, I got a much more, like, holy shit, that song is actually really great. And I'd kind of been, since then, kind of listening to the record here and there, and like, okay, it's not as bad as I remember. And eventually I got to the point now where re-listening to it, I'm like, man, this album fucking rips. Like, there's some good fucking songs. Some that are like all-timers for me in their catalog. They just so happen to be on one of my least favorite albums as a whole, right? So really happy to pick it up on vinyl and to really listen to it and get into it again. And it's like, you know, I spent 13 years more or less shitting on this album. Kind of did the same thing with Motion City Soundtracks. What is the name of the album? Yeah, Even If This Kills Me from 07 as well. I really just like didn't fucking get it. It just never really clicked. I felt like it was too, not say mainstream, but it was almost too polished, like too poppy in spots. And like, I felt like some of the writing was repetitive in certain songs and certain lyrics. And, you know, Justin's really good at painting a picture and using metaphors and a lot of wordplay and everything else. And I felt like that album was a step behind in the writing, at least from that standpoint. Again, has some great songs. It has some of my favorite Motion City songs on it as a whole, but overall, it's like, that's my least favorite, right? But going back and re-listening to it over years and years and years, like, damn, this album's actually really great, and I can't necessarily judge it as harshly as I did over maybe two songs that I don't necessarily care for out of 13, you know what I mean? So that's kind of how this Coheed thing is. It's like, you know, there's like two or three songs that I can skip and do without, but then there's also like 11 other songs that are fucking great. Right. So that's a pretty good ratio. So I got to maybe take a step back and stop being so harsh, you know. But anyway, so that said, another album that I picked up this year that I was really looking forward to, the represses for Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge and The Black Parade. Well, they were Urban Outfitters exclusives, and it replaced my two black copies of the other records that I had hanging up on a wall in my old place, and they were ruined. And it's just like, I just did not take care of them at all. So these, obviously, I'm taking care of them much more now, much better. But yeah, that was a good big pickup, which those immediately, like once they sold out, you know, I started looking at them on Discogs, and they were already in the $100 range, $150. And it's like, so glad I got my hands on one before the assholes got them, right? Another one that came out, had a repressing just recently here is Because the Internet by Childish Gambino, which I actually bought maybe 2 years ago from Best Buy, and was like, holy shit, I got it. Yeah. I get it home and play the first disc front and back. Cool. Put the second disc on, and turns out they gave me the same record twice. Like it was two disc number ones in the packaging, which I've never had happen before. And I have 310 records or so, and I don't know how many of those are double LPs and triple LPs and everything else, and I've never had them package the same disc twice. So I brought it back to Best Buy. I'm like, hey, you know, I just want to exchange it, and they're like, oh, we don't have it in stock, and we don't know when we're getting any more. So apparently that was like the last one they had, and then by this point it was out of print, so they couldn't get it again. So I've been sitting now for almost 2 years waiting, and they finally announced a repress, I think sometime in November, and pre-ordered it a few weeks ago, and then it came in just a few days ago, actually. So that was really cool to finally get that one. Hawthorne Heights, The Silence in Black and White, their first album, which is another one that I slept on vinyl, at least. On Discogs, I was like, man, oh, it's $40. I'll get it whenever, right? Then that one sells, and another one comes up for $50, and I'm like, 50's not that bad. Okay, I'll get it. You know, I'll get it later. Kept pushing it off and pushing it off and pushing it off. And then before I knew it, the pressing that I wanted was like $120 on Discogs. And I was like, man, I'm not paying $120 for the fucking record. I don't love it that much, right? Then Newbery Comics comes through in the clutch, announces a repress, limited to, I believe, 150, maybe, for this and their second album, which their second album I never really cared about, but yes, 150. I just looked it up. And I tell you what, man, to getting, I don't know, man, getting that record on vinyl, I liked it. It was more of a feeling like a holy shit feeling than I thought it would be. And then listening to it, it's just all those feelings and just like the memories came back of summer 2004. I was super into them, and to the point that there was a legitimate conversation within, amongst myself, I guess, of who my favorite band was, if it was Thursday or if it was Hawthorne Heights. For, you know, as ridiculous as that is, it was a legitimate thing. I'd ask myself, like, man, I don't know which one I like better, you know? Crazy now, but it's funny because they're the reason I actually went to my first concert, which was Warped Tour 05. I went specifically to see Hawthorne Heights. And it just so happened that, like, My Chemical Romance was there, you know, which I liked them, of course, but I wasn't like, holy shit, it's My Chemical Romance. I was kind of just like, oh, okay, yeah, My Chemical Romance is cool. I like them. But Hawthorne Heights was my shit. Like, that was, like, mind-blowing. I had to meet them, which is another thing that's kind of funny how that worked out, because I met them, and they were kind of shitty. I don't know. Looking back, I get it. Like, I mean, I was 20 at the time, about to be 21. I think they weren't much older than me, you know, at the time. Maybe 21, 22, 23, maybe. And you're in a hot, like, tent in the middle of summer in Texas on a tour that's been going on for weeks now, all around the country, in the summer, in parking lots, in the heat and everything else. And I know that's your job to kind of be presentable present this kind of, you know, whatever, like you got to turn it on for your fans and that kind of thing. But I can also see how a band basically touring, this is like their first album. Their first album has just been out like 1 year at this point. So maybe they weren't as refined. Maybe they weren't handling the road or the tour as well as maybe they could have. And looking back, it makes sense, you know. But for me as a fan, I'm like, oh, I met them. They were assholes. And then I kind of just like, honestly, just stopped listening to them and just didn't even care about the second album when it came out, because I was like, well, fuck them. I mean, they were dicks when I met them, you know. And it's, again, probably a little harsh, but whatever the case, had things gone differently with that, who knows, man? I might have kept being like, oh, man, I met them and they were so cool, and then kept being this huge Hawthorne Heights fan. And then, not to say I wouldn't have ever been a big Thursday fan, but, I mean, it's a very good possibility at that point that Hawthorne Heights could have ended up being my favorite band of all time. But anyway, moving on. Some other really good releases this year that I picked up that actually came out this year, which was Fuming Mouth put out a new EP, Beyond the Tomb. It's really good. Let's see. Magnitude. I picked up the third pressing of their To Whatever Fateful End record, finally. It's really fucking great. Let's see. The Avengers, like, 6 LP set. That's the full scores from Infinity War and from Endgame. Another incredible pickup that I just was just ecstatic to get, right? I completed my Motion City soundtrack discography or whatever, I guess. Got every last one of their albums finally on vinyl this year, which I bought like three at the show and when I saw them in January. And let's see, who else here? I have Blink written down, which I'm trying to think. I don't think I got that Blink-182 record, the Splatter. I believe the Splatter was actually in 2019 when I finally picked that one up. I could be wrong, though. Actually, no, I think I did. I think I did pick it up this year, actually. So that was pretty cool. That was one that the Hot Topic exclusive of their self-titled album from 03. That was one that I was really trying to get. And just for the longest time, it was so expensive, and I finally found one for a good price, right? The Akira Symphonic Suite. That was another one that I've been eyeing for years, and Newberry finally put out a new one, a new exclusive or whatever, so I picked that up. My buddy Jake in Shoegazers, the Love Notes EP, which they paired with the EP that was before that one, Straight Gas. I got the pink and green copies of that, signed by the band as well, and got a really cool handwritten note from Jake himself, so that's pretty awesome. Again, just a good fucking year, man. Like, I wanted to count up the records that I bought this year, like, just get an idea of how many I knocked off of my list, like, off of my want list, or just to get an idea of how many I bought this year in just in general, because, like, I just can't keep up. And I didn't do that, but, like, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm kind of looking through whatever. It's at least 40, 50, I guess. I don't know. It's quite a bit. But so moving on. So I guess the moment you all have been waiting for, right? The top five albums of the year. I will start actually with honorable mentions. One of which would be my buddy Chuck, his record, These Wretched Days. It's an incredible album. It's available on SoundCloud, Spotify. If you search up Chuck Morg, yeah, you will find it. But, man. So, there's a song on there, right? It's the opening track called The Living End. Now, the whole album is pretty, I don't know how to describe it, like, folky, just real kind of down, I don't want to say depressing, but I mean, it definitely gets me in a mood when I listen to it. It's really fucking good, right? But in particular, the song The Living End, there is a line where he says, I'm trying to think of the lyric here, where he says, like, there's a fire deep in my soul. That's not how it goes. I'm trying to think, man. Now I'm getting confused exactly on what he says, but I know it's one of those lines when I heard it was like, holy shit, you know? It's like, why would you do this, Chuck? You know? I don't know. I mean, I know him personally and everything, but, and I know that he's been in bands before and singing and playing guitar and doing other things for a long time. And we actually recorded a song together like 7 years ago and everything else, and so I know how talented he can be. But I don't know, man, this particular recording just kind of blew me away. Like, even, I guess not that I didn't expect it to be good, I didn't know how good it was going to be, you know? It says, so there's a fire within my heart. It feels just like a burning hell. And if my life should come apart and I should die, then it's just as well. And it's just, oh man, I don't know. You gotta listen to that. That's The Living End by Chuck Morg, but also the entire album These Wretched Days, right? So that's an honorable mention. Mainly, I mean, there's no physical release of it, so I can't necessarily put it in the vinyl countdown, right? But so these, I will say, I don't know. I'm not gonna necessarily place these. I'm just gonna like spit them out, and then, you know, the order, I guess, of the one and twos can be flip flopped, and then the three through five can actually be flip flopped too. I mean, it's not set in stone, but these are my top five albums of the year. This Place Sucks Ass, which isn't a full album, but Pup's EP, it's really fucking good. And the song Rot, Anaphylaxis is on it. There's a cover, AM180. There's a few. I mean, it's a really good fucking song. Really good fucking album. And it was one of those ones that Anaphylaxis, on its own, I wasn't super duper into. But within the framework of the EP, it really works. And Rot is a really great song. And just overall, it's really fucking great. So I would check that out for sure. Next, Told Slant and Hold the Flashlight and Walk. That is another one that it just makes you feel all kinds of shit. The song Family Still is one that I just keep, I had on repeat for so long just because he released it, or they released it, when was it? A few months or so, I guess, before the album dropped. And I listened to that song and Note Backpack and Family Still so fucking much. And, you know, there's one line in the song Family Still where they say, what can be said of desire when every desire, oh yeah, how does it say that? What can be said of desire when, oh, how does he say, oh, I can't, see, now I'm putting myself on the spot here, and I'm not able to reproduce these lines like I thought I would. I'm going to try, though. I'm going to try again. I'm trying to see real quick. It's, you can hear it. I mean, it's coming up. it's coming up after this line, right? Might as well just turn it up, shit. I'm not going to edit any of this either, so whatever. Okay, so it says, what can be said of desire when every longing instilled in my heart was instilled in such a violent world? And I don't know. That particular line, like, really always kind of stuck with me or whatever. And it's a fucking great album. I mean, every song is great, but those in particular are ones that stand out for me. But next up, I actually just got it in the mail this morning and listened to it, and it's fucking great. Eggy Pocket by Bill Murray, which also on the B side of that is the EP Taco from 2018, but Eggy Pocket is the new one from 2020. And I was trying to get him on the show for last month, and I never did. I mean, he entertained the idea, and he told me, you know, we kind of talked a little bit, but we never materialized, so kind of sucks. But I tried. But whatever the case, the album's great. The EP's great, and who knows? Maybe next year I might get him on the show. We'll see, right? But moving on to the one and two, right? So drum roll. Touche Amore, Lament. Oh, boy. So I did an episode on this one, of course. That was episode number 70. 72. Go check that out if you have not already. But I really go into it there. That album is fucking incredible. Touche Amore to still be doing what they're doing so far into their, like, five albums in, and they literally have not had an album. There hasn't been a misstep yet, right? I don't know. I can't say any more about them than I've already said in the past on previous episodes when I talked about them, right? But Jeff Rosenstock, No Dream, which that came out, that was episode 64. Again, that's one that, I don't know, man. I just, it's so good. It's so good. And, you know, I think about it, and I can't pick a number one. I really can't. Like, I've tried and tried and tried and tried. But it's one of those things that, like, there's no way to just say, like, oh, that album is definitively better than this album, right? It just depends on the week, the day, how I'm feeling. And it's like, oh, shit, oh, that's my number one. And then, like, the next week I'll listen to it, and it's like, oh, fuck, no, this album's really good. So, I mean, you really can't go wrong, I guess, with either one. Yeah, I don't know. Either one of them can be album of the year, right? Like, you can't, again, can't really go wrong. But, and I guess, you know, oh, another honorable mention, a couple more, I guess. Speedway, a Swedish band, they're on Triple B Records now. They released an EP that's fucking amazing. I can't wait for their full length. Initiate as well, signed with Triple B this past year, and released their Lavender EP, and it's fucking great too. So, I mean, this was a year that full albums, like, there's only, according to my list here, there's four, or actually three, the rest are all EPs, but even still, in a year that didn't see live shows, that didn't see a whole lot of full lengths being released or anything else, but, there was still a lot of incredible music being made. Jeff Rosenstock, even, he had an album that he dropped on Bandcamp. Just, I think it was called, like, 2020 Dump or something like that. That was also fucking great. You know, I almost forgot about that one. So, I mean, there's just so much music being released in different ways, like being released in very non-traditional ways, right? Live stream shows, which is something that I never thought I'd get into, but, you know, I watched Touche Amore's, and it was fucking great. I bought Thursday's, where they had Cursive and another band, I can't even remember the name, instrumental band. They're pretty great, though. They opened for them, like, I darkened the room, the living room, cranked it up, strength and made it feel like I was at a concert, and it was fucking amazing. They actually have their Signals version 2 live stream tonight starting, but I'm going to be at work. Good thing is, the live stream will be available for on demand until I think 11 p.m. January 1st, and I'm off on the 1st, so I'll be able to actually watch it and take it in. But oh man, it's just that I didn't think it would be that good of an experience, but it was about as, it felt so good to watch them performing songs and just like trying to make the atmosphere as best I could, you know, feel like a concert. And it was pretty good. I mean, I don't know. It's obviously not as good as the real thing, but if this is all we got for some more time, at least the next 6 months to a year, then hey, I'll take it. Right. But, you know, with that, I mean, I kind of spoiled it anyway on the episodes I did on Touche Amore's Lament and on No Dream. Those are my 1 and 2. They're interchangeable. They're both incredible. All the records, all the music I talked about this episode, I would highly recommend checking them out, picking it up. At the very least, you know, listening to them, these records on Spotify or wherever you listen to music, right? At least give them a try, because I'm sure you'll find something that you would like, right? So with that, going into the new year, happy new year, everybody. Be safe, be smart. Obviously with Corona still being a thing, just because the clock strikes 12 doesn't mean, you know, and 2021 is going to come in, doesn't mean that coronavirus is going to automatically disappear. So maybe chill out on the New Year's parties. You know, watch the drinking and driving, obviously get a DD. Just be smart, you know. We've all made it through this year so far, all of you that are still here, and let's try to go into 2021 and actually let's make it into 2021, all right? Don't let 2020 claim anybody else, I guess. I will be back the first week of February with new episodes. Looks like February the 4th, so mark your calendars, people. I will be back. Just taking a much needed break. Like I said before, I wanted to finish the year with an episode like I did last year, but I just need time to regroup. I know how I want the show to be. I'm not going to really make any changes format wise or anything else, but I do just need time to research and write and just kind of get the fire back for it. Right. With the hurricanes and everything that went on this year, like it just made it really hard to put the time in, I guess, to focus the way that I used to be able to focus on it. You know, another good point was made to me the other day is that homeschooling too, on the days that I'm off now or working nights or whatever it might be, like I'm still having to work with the kids all day and do school. And, you know, so I just don't have the time anymore, you know, unless it just makes it really difficult, which, you know, life happens, right? And this isn't my job, so I can put it on hold if I need to. But I would like to, again, get back into it and kind of get back into a groove how I was right, like before the hurricanes hit, and where I had everything just really, just kicking ass, right? You know, releasing mini episodes on Mondays, full episodes on Thursdays, and I had everything written and kind of planned out for months in advance. And like, I'd like to get back to that, to where I'm not stressing and struggling and like scrambling every single week to get something out there, you know. But with that said, I love you all. I thank you all for being here, supporting me as much as you have for as long as you have. It's been over a year now that I've been doing the podcast, year and a half actually, so that's crazy to even think about. But yeah, so for the Vinyl Countdown, I'm gonna try that again because my button just decides to not work sometimes. So, for the Vinyl Countdown, I'm Jeremy Levine, and I hope to be in your ears next year in February. So, I'll see y'all then. Thanks. Bye.